So thanks, guys, for having us here. Just could we just stand to our feet for a wee moment? Because one of the... I like to go with the flow. I like to keep in the flow of the anointing. I don't like to break that. So I think the important thing is that God resoundingly in the Spirit kept talking to me about miracles this morning. He kept saying that I'm getting ready to release a miraculous anointing. This is number eight. This is the eighth celebration of this church. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. I won't just pray for the gift of interpretation of tongues. I'll pray for the gift of interpretation of the Scottish accent. God began to speak to me about miracles. One of the beauties of it is moving in the prophetic is that you hear God. Like, some people are seers and some people are hearers. So I'm more of a hearer than I am a seer, okay? So I have to go with what God lays on my heart. And one of the things that God really emphasized to me this morning was that God is the God of the miraculous, and God is not finished doing miracles in the lives of his believers. The enemy would have us believe that God is finished doing miracles in the church. The enemy would have society believing that God has stopped providing for his people. The enemy would have different sections of society believing that God is no longer moving and that God is no longer on the throne. But when we look at the Word of God, we can see that we are living in an end time hour that talks about the wars and rumors of wars and all the things that are happening at government level. Now, I'm not here to talk about that, but I'm here to tell you about the government of God. The government of our God supersedes any government structure that is upon the earth. God has called us to be his ecclesia, and he has called us to move in his authority by his Spirit in the earth realm. And it's not just for the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. It is for every single believer, according to Ephesians 4 verse 11, when it talks about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So nothing happens in the physical realm without it first happening in the supernatural realm. And if the enemy can stop us from praying, seeking the word and praising God, he tries to disarm us from the very things that God uses in our lives to cause us an atmospheric change. No matter where you or I go as believers in Christ Jesus, we change the atmosphere. That means if you walk into a negative atmosphere, if you walk into an atmosphere where there's not much happening, because you carry the kingdom of God within you, because you carry the Spirit of God within you, you automatically change the atmosphere in which you stand. We should have no fear, anxiety. Now, I have never seen so many people today, young people today, suffering from anxiety. So many people suffering from depression or oppression. It is a work of the enemy to stop the children of God from understanding who they are in Christ Jesus. If you know who you are in Christ, you can't be messed with. If you know what God has assigned you and appointed you to do, you cannot be messed with. So what the enemy tries to do, because he can't pluck your names from the Lamb's Book of Life, is he tries to stop you from understanding the authority that Christ has given you. By you pressing into God and spending time in his word and spending time in prayer and seeking the face of God, he will reveal himself to you. And so we are moving into a time now where we cannot rely on worldly systems any longer. We have to rely on God's economics. We have to rely on God's kingdom. Even our health service is failing. Our health service has fallen apart at the seams. Why? Because there's so much pressure on worldly systems, and they do not have the solution and they do not have the answer to which God has given us. We are the children of God, and we carry the kingdom of God on the inside. Every single person standing in this room has been uniquely created and uniquely gifted in the image of God. So you carry the kingdom of God on the inside of you. You cannot and will not be the same again. And in this year of change, of transition, of new beginnings in the year 8, God is causing his children to understand who they are in Christ Jesus. Don't think that I'm preaching because I'm just a know-it-all. I myself have gone through major identity issues. I was fostered as a young kid. My father died. I had to go to work on myself, my own character and my own personality, and allow God to step in and bring healing and deliverance. It's ongoing. We're never a finished product, amen. God is always working on us. He's always training us. He's always equipping us, and he's always moving with us. So this morning, the first thing that I heard the Lord say was the miraculous. But in order to get into the miraculous, God says he needs to deliver us, not necessarily from the enemy, sometimes from our own thoughts. Our own thoughts can be our biggest inhibitor And I'll touch on Psalm 59 about that this morning. That's a psalm of deliverance. And then I want to touch a little bit on Ezekiel with the dry bones, because there's people in this room who've had visions and dreams that have felt like they've died and gone into the valley of dry bones. And God wants to breathe on your bones again and cause them to come to life and bring those visions and dreams that you once had back to life. The other thing about it is that the Spirit of the Lord is saying in the last days that the Spirit of Elijah, or the anointing of Elijah, is going to be upon the people of God. Elijah was a prophet of fire. God is calling his children and his people to be sons and daughters of fire, that we recognize the false altars that have been erected in the spiritual realm and we call down holy fire upon them, that we cause them to be dispersed so there can be altars that speak against you and I in the negative supernatural. And that comes from the accuser of the brethren. So today what we want to do is shut those altars down, that we can stand in the place of God and we can stand righteously before God and we can stand as his humble servants and call down fire on our circumstances. Would we agree on that this morning? Let's lift our hands towards heaven for a wee moment. Father God, we thank you for your miracle working power. We thank you that there's no other name but the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, you said this morning that this is going to be a place earmarked with miracles, Father God. Not because of any man or any woman, but Father God, you desire to move through this place with signs and wonders and miracles. You desire to move through each believer in signs and wonders and miracles, that we are the ambassadors of heaven. We stand in full ambassadorial authority as ones representing Jesus Christ to bring atmospheric change in this nation, Father God, and of the nations of the earth. And today, Father God, we give you permission to do what you want to do in our midst. This is your meeting. This is not our meeting. You have called us, God, to be gathered together in your name. So we give you permission to do what you want to do. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you have delivered us and will deliver us even from our own ensnaring words. Words that we've come into agreement with that is negative over our lives. We cancel that out in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we will be the sons and daughters of God that will arise in this hour in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, demonstrating the kingdom of God and bringing atmospheric change to towns and cities across this nation and of the nations of the earth. I thank you, God, that in this hour there's going to be a mighty outpouring of your Spirit, and we're going to see a mighty move of your Spirit, Father God, that is going to bring salvation into households. It's going to bring healing. It's going to bring deliverance. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. We stand on the word of God that as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's so good to hear Nigerians. I've been in Nigeria a few times and I love Africa. I'm actually Scottish on the outside, but Nigerian on the inside, if you haven't noticed. I have to say, though, one of my spiritual fathers was a Nigerian archbishop, and that man knew what it was to move in miracles. That man knew what it was to see people raised from the dead. He'd seen over 39 people raised from the dead, so God is still in the business of raising people from the dead. And if you understand anything about the Scottish, they sometimes say the Scottish are tight, that they don't like parting with their money. They sometimes, that's a kind of standing joke about the Scottish. A Scotsman could peel an orange in his pocket and you'd know nothing about it. And he would consume the whole thing and nobody would even, all you would get is a smell of orange waft. The smell of the orange, and then you'd know that man's ate something and no shared it with anybody. My wife's always checking my pockets for mints, and just in case I've been blessed by something and I haven't gone and shared that blessing. But you see, what happened was in Africa, my spiritual father had imparted his mantle to many different people and had raised up many sons and daughters across the nations. And that's what God is calling us to do, is that we as the ambassadors of heaven receive something from heaven and then we pass that on. Everything that we've received from a situation, or we've overcome in a situation, and God has blessed us, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego going through the fiery furnace and coming out the other side, and they come into a place of promotion. So if it's all right, I would like to prophesy over yourself. Is that your wife? Your sister? You're all from the same family. Could I prophesy over you if that's all right? Could you just come forward for a wee second? I'll start with you first, if that's all right. Can I just ask folks to stretch forth their hands towards this young man? And it's no mistake, I believe, that the reason, one of the reasons I'm here is because God has given you a strong prophetic grace and a strong prophetic anointing. And I believe that the Lord is going to show you things in the spiritual realm. You are a man who likes to lay hold of the things of God and understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You have a tenacity and a backbone. You're sometimes not always understood because you're a bit quieter or seem unassuming, but you are a warrior. You're a firebrand for the Lord, and the Lord has mantled you with an Elijah anointing, a fire anointing, that you're going to call down fire upon the enemy's camp. You're going to be used by the Lord to dismantle the work of the enemy. And the Lord has said that even in days gone by, when the enemy had tried to distract you and even tried to destroy you, the Spirit of the Lord says, I put my hand upon you and I kept you safe. Even when the enemy tried to take you out, I kept you safe, because you have a peculiar anointing of protection upon your life. And the Lord says, I'm going to keep you safe in the days that lie ahead, because I am calling you to be a mouthpiece. I am calling you to be my mouthpiece. I'm calling you to be one that would bring forth my word in season. It was sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. But I'm going to open up the visionary element to you in a much greater and deeper capacity. You're a man of integrity. You're a man of upstanding. You have a heart for the Lord. You have a heart to seek after me, my kingdom and my ways. And God says, I'm about to rush over you with a deluge of the miraculous. You're going to begin to see things moving in a suddenly. God says, I have given you a heart of prayer and a heart of worship. But not only that, God says, because you seek my face and seek to see what my kingdom can be doing in this earth at this time, the Lord says, I will move upon you swiftly. And God says that this is a season of promotion, and this is a season of me building you up and strengthening you. And the Lord says, as you seek my face and seek my word, I will cause you to have more encounters with my Holy Spirit. I will cause you to have encounters in the heavenly realms, and I will cause you to see things that you've not yet seen and yet not experienced. For I have locked away in you a destiny that is getting unraveled in this season, and you have a calling upon your life to be the mouthpiece of God. And God even says that there's a preacher and a teacher's anointing upon your life, and you're going to begin to preach and teach and deliver my word with such prophetic accuracy. You're going to hear my heart. You're going to hear my heartbeat, and you're going to understand what it is to express my heart amongst the people. The Lord says, just love on my people, take care of my people, look after my people, feed my sheep. And I bless you with that in Jesus' name. Father God, what's your name? Ruth. That's a great name. I just thank you for Ruth, and I thank you, Lord, in the days of change, that there's a holy boldness that is going to come upon your handmaid. And I thank you, Lord, that you've called her to be a warrior, not a warrior. You've called her to be a warrior. And the Lord says, I'm going to cause you to overcome some of the circumstances that have been circulating around you. There has been a sense in the spirit, like it was like a, you know, like that what's the birds that eat dead things? Vultures. It was like negative spiritual vultures that had been trying to feed off you from the past. And the Lord says, I'm bringing that into a place of maturity just now, and I'm giving you back your voice. I'm giving you back a place of authority and to understand your role in the kingdom of God, in my kingdom, says the Lord. And you're going to be one that will be an encourager. You're going to be one that will encourage other women. You will encourage other people to press into me, to press into my spirit, to keep contending for the vision that is upon their life and in their life. For God says, I have given you a tenacity. I have given you a strength and an ability to see past the circumstances and keep hold of my plans and my purposes. When things look negative, God says, you keep looking to the positive, and God says, you keep praising me. And as you keep praising me and maneuvering in me, says God, I will cause your circumstances to come into such a place that you will be such a blessing to other people. And where the enemy has tried to close your finances down, where the enemy has tried to stop you from moving financially, because your heart is a heart of a giver, you have got the heart of a sower, you've got a heart to give into other people, God says, I'm going to turn the circumstances around, that you will be blessed to be a blessing, and that you will be able to sow in and touch other people's lives, not necessarily by the preaching or the teaching, but by the singing, but also just by being there and loving on them and showing kindness with your hands. And I bless you with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 59 talks about deliverance. One of our biggest needs for deliverance is sometimes from ourselves. You know, the enemy likes to come in and say things to us, but he literally has no power over us. He likes to lie. He likes to kid on. You see, I used to have people say to me when I pastored for years, but God and the devil are enemies. And I'm like, yeah, I understand that. But the devil does not have equal power to God. God is not created. Satan is created. He's a created being, so therefore, created beings cannot carry the same power as the Creator. So he lies about it. And if he can get believers in Jesus to think that he is co-equal with God, we have this ideology that the world has put on our minds about what we see through our gateway, which is the devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other. And somehow one day we'll get up and the devil's winning, and then the next day an angel's winning, and then the next day the devil's winning. And do you know that we give him authority that he does not have in our lives? We do not have a demon on one shoulder and an angel on the other. We have Jesus Christ on the inward part. We have Jesus Christ in our heart. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, now would be a good time to get him, because you need the power of the Parakletos. And I have to make sure no Greek people are going to correct me about the spelling of that or how you pronounce it. Are you Greek? Was it Greek? Parakletos. Is that correct? Thank you, Jesus. You've always got to be careful when you're sitting with somebody that speaks the lingo of where the original words come from. Parakletos, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes water the Holy Spirit down to being the comforter. I am sorry, but see people that tell me the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman, as if he's some kind of dove that floats in and gets offended and floats away again. I can't wait to speak to Paul. Paul did not have an encounter with a little floating dove on his road to Damascus. He got hit by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? When God looked at a murderer, when God looked at a man who looked as if he was persecuting the church and was holding the jacket of Stephen to get stoned to death, God looked at him and went, I'm going to use that man. What person do you know that would go into a prison and look at a murderer and go, I see such potential in that person? Only our God could do that. Only God in heaven could look in and see the potential of a murderer and say, I'm going to use them to write three quarters of the New Testament church. Three quarters of the New Testament word of God. And yet that's what God did. So people that tell me the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman, I've been in meetings before years ago when the power of God would start and I would be lying on the floor. You can't tell me the Holy Spirit was a perfect gentleman. He knocked me off my seat. And he'd knocked so many different people off their seats. And if you think about it, if you have a sickness and Jesus heals it, that's not a perfect gentleman. He wants you to walk in the fullness of who he is and the kingdom that he expresses. And so when we come into agreement with the enemy, we disarm ourselves. It's not the enemy who disarms us, it's we who disarm ourselves. If you want to experience the miraculous in your life, stop agreeing with the negative circumstances. Stop looking at the circumstances in which you're living and begin to press into God for solution. God always has a solution, even when the circumstances look absolutely impossible. God always has a solution. Just recently, we were talking to a guy who had recently got a building and all that. I was just thinking about this situation here. Do you know that I've got a friend from Glasgow, I've got more than one, but one of my friends from Glasgow had prophesied over a pastor and had said to him, God is going to give you a church building. Now, these sound like prophecies of grandeur and grandioso. If it comes from God, it's going to come to pass. You have to do warfare over it, as Paul said to Timothy. We all have a responsibility to do warfare over the words that God has given us. So this prophet had prophesied over this pastor who didn't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit. He was under grace. And this prophet says to him, you're going to get a building. And he kind of laughed, especially because it was a woman that was delivering the word. He's like, God doesn't speak to women. There should be no women in the pulpit. There should be no women preaching. Despite his own doctrinal issues and his own doctrinal problems, God used a woman prophetess to come to him and tell him, God says you're going to get a building. You're interested in youth work. God says he's got a youth room for you. It's all sorted. And God says you're worried about the children's ministry. God's got a children's room for you. You've also been worried about a prayer room and a Bible college room. God's got that sorted for you. And the beauty of it is you're going to be given it. Now, could you imagine receiving a word like that when you don't believe in women speaking by God? You don't believe in the gifts, and every door you've knocked has been shut on your face. And then Jehovah Sneaky comes along. He uses a woman to prophesy, speak into your life and tell you all the things that you're going to get from God. By grace, not because he earned it. By grace, and guess what? We just heard the testimony in November there, Elaine. The man got a phone call from another leader who had a building, phoned him up and says, God has laid it upon my heart to give you this church building. He took the list of the prophecy, went to see the man. Youth room, though, is there a youth room in it? He was trying any way he could to pick that it didn't come from God, that it just happened to be a man that gave him it. Is there a youth room in it? Takes him in, shows him it. Tick, youth room. Is there a children's facility in it, though? Takes him in, shows him. Children's facility. Tick. Oh, dear. That's two out of three now. Ah, but do you have room for a Bible college and prayer meeting? It's two separate rooms, one there and one there. You can have a room each. So that's another double tick. And one he thought he was only get one tick on. And then he says, and how much is this? He says, God's told me to give it to you. He says, the other thing is, he says, I was concerned about the heating system. So I've replaced the whole heating system for you. And I want you to have the building. And handed, they did the paperwork, signed it up, handed the building over, absolutely mortgage free. Absolutely. So he gets in touch with that prophetess that I know. And he had to humble himself and he had to say, well, he says, we've decided to give the gifts a try. We've decided to maybe give women a try. We've decided maybe to do it God's way instead of doing it our way. But isn't what astounds me about God is they didn't deserve it because they didn't believe. They didn't deserve it, but God had a solution all the time in the background. And that woman prophetess could have been put off by the circumstances. She could have went, guy don't like women in ministry. Guy don't like gift. Ain't no way I'm delivering no word to that man. But she didn't look at the circumstances. She stood in the faith for what God had given her and went to the man and still delivered regardless of the fear of man that she may have had looking at him and thinking, could you imagine getting that wrong and how much damage that could do? That's how much faith she had in God that she knew that she had heard the voice of God. And that's why when it says in Scripture, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger, they'll not follow. It's so important that you and I hear God's voice for ourselves. The New Testament prophetic ministry is called to point you to Jesus. It's called to equip you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus, that you can hear God for yourself, that you can have visions and dreams. God is so active today and the gifts of the Spirit are so much more relevant today than they've ever been before. But along with that, God wants to encourage you to allow you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. And that is by dealing with the problem of our mindset. Psalm 59, if you've got your Bibles. And this was something that the Lord had kind of downloaded. There was a couple of things going around in my spirit. There was one of them that I was going to speak on Zerubbabel because I was away in holiday and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Zerubbabel, talking about the building of the house of the Lord. But I really felt this morning that God, you know, we're building. Okay, this is the 8th year, so the building work's already been taking place. This is now to do with the fact that God is moving into new beginnings. New beginnings mean new horizons, new places, which means that we rise up into the authority that Christ has given us because the house can only be built if we are doing the work of the ministry in our community, the people that we're living every day with. Gone are the days of just doing church in church. We have to do church outside church, which means we have to take the power of God now out the building. Rather than coming to church to see what I can receive, we come to the house of God to see what we can bring to be a blessing to somebody else. Then as we are empowered and strengthened and encouraged one with another, we then carry that impartation or that deposit into us and we go out and bless. That was why I mentioned about Nigeria. When I went there, I didn't go with the capacity to receive, although I did receive, but I received something to be able to carry back out and go and bless other people with. So we never receive to keep. We always receive to give. If we come to the church with the mindset, I'm coming to church to give rather than to receive, it causes a flow of God's anointing and God's Spirit that God will flow through you rather than stop with you. Do you understand the difference? If you're just saying, what can I receive from God today by coming to church? Or I didn't like that song, didn't like the way they sung it, or I didn't really like that message. That Phil sometimes, he says stuff that I don't know if I agree with. And then you come out and you talk about all the things you didn't like. We should be coming to the church, it says in Scripture, with a psalm or a proverb, something to bless somebody else with. If we come with that mentality to be a giver rather than a receiver, it changes our perception and it causes a move of God's Spirit in our life and through our life. That you are not the receiver to hold it, you're the receiver to give it. We've always got to have a mentality to give, all right? Psalm 59, and I think somebody stole the book of Psalms out of my Bible here. Psalm 59. Now, this was a psalm that the Lord actually deposited in my spirit. Was it in Friday, Elaine? I was just driving along the road, minding my own business. That's what I love about God, is that God speaks to us when we least expect it. Sometimes when you're not in your most spiritual moments is when Jesus speaks to you. Sometimes we try to make ourselves really spiritual and, you know, I've fasted and I've prayed and I've got all my ducks in order and now, Jesus, you can speak to me. Anytime now, Lord, I'm your servant's listening. Don't know if you'd went through that same thing as me when everybody's saying you can get a word from the Bible. So you open your Bible and you're saying, God, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. Speak, Lord. And then you hear Matthew. Oh, Lord, you said the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, Lord, don't let go of the book of Matthew to find it, Lord. Matthew 29. Oh, there's no Matthew 29. Oh, well, that's it. Back to the drawing board. No, Matthew 29. Oh, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You lying, deceitful spirit. Stop trying to speak to me. You lying, deceiving spirit. God's like, you just made that up yourself. Psalm 59 says, and this is a psalm of deliverance, so this is a deliverance from our own thoughts, this is a deliverance from those. Please understand, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness in high places. The enemy can use somebody to be them a mouthpiece for a moment or circumstances or situations. Same as Jesus had to turn around and say, get thee behind me, Satan, when he was talking to one of the disciples. He wasn't Satan himself, he wasn't Hauken, a great big demon, but he did speak as a mouthpiece of Satan according to speaking against the will and purpose of God. And so there can be well-meaning Christians that can say things about us or to us without meaning anything by it, but it can break and divide because the power of life and death is in the tongue. And it says here in verse 1, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Remembering that people are not our enemy, it's the enemy himself. Defend me from those who rise up against me. You know, it says in Scripture, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I used to think, oh, that's brilliant, I'm okay because nothing's going to touch me now. But it says that no weapon formed means that there will be some formation of weapons against you. So you have to understand what the formation of the weapons are against you so that you're able to come against it with the word of God. You're able to break it down. The enemy tries to forge weapons against us. He forges weapons against our mind, our will and emotions. He'll even try to forge weapons against visions and dreams and things that God has imparted to us to try and create a disbelief in us and make us believe that God hasn't told us the truth. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression or not for my sin, O Lord. You have to understand that part there was that David was not saying that he had done anything wrong. He was actually standing in righteousness before God. And there are times in our lives, I don't know about you, right, but I often have thought in my journey with God, if I'm in right standing with God, everything should work out just nice. Have you ever thought that? You think I'm prayed up, I'm fasted up, I've been in the Word, so everything, and it's almost like you think you're walking in this kind of floating, and you don't want anything to come in your way. And you know, if anybody says, oh, I'm not entering into that, that's so negative. But in actual fact, you become a target for the enemy the more you push into the purposes of God. The more you push into the purposes of God, the more you become a threat to the enemy's camp. The more you push into God, the more you become a threat to those circumstances and situations that have been working against you, because the enemy knows that you're on the cusp of hearing God and you're on the cusp of having a breakthrough. The enemy can see in the spiritual realm more than we can see. The spiritual realm is a highly disciplined realm. It's so much more disciplined than the natural realm. And because it's so much more disciplined than the natural realm, I remember when I was pastoring, I had people that in my congregation that would come in and say, "Pastor, God's going to move today." I'd say, "Oh, that's really good." I got woke up at 3 o'clock this morning and I've been in prayer ever since. And I'm like, brilliant, so God's going to move. Listen, let me tell you, God's not going to move because you got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Heaven's always interceding. It tells you that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, what? Making intercession for you and I. So heaven's already praying. We just get an invitation to the prayer meeting. Now, I'm not saying that we don't carry power and authority. We do. We engage with heaven. But we have to get out of this mentality that everything works well for those that are right with God and everything goes wrong for those that are not right with God. We have to get into this idea that we are in warfare. We are warriors. We are not called to go to the playground and play on the chutes and the swings. We are called as the army of God. I've said this before. We're not called to wear our onesies to war. We are called to put on the full armour of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And it's not by what you say out your mouth, it's by how you live your life is what the weapons look like. And so when we turn to God, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are called to pull down strongholds. So here we go. They run and prepare themselves, though no fault of mine. Awake to help me, O my God, and behold, you therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. Evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? Now, why I've stopped there for a little minute is because in the spiritual realm, the enemy goes about like a roaring lion. Like, the real lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You see how he's just a bad mimicker? He goes about like a roaring lion. The real lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a bad mimicker. And what the enemy tries to do is make his roar sound like it's louder. Or make his roar sound like it's more beneficial in your life or more influential in your life. And God wants you to know at this time and in this moment that the Lord is roaring out of heaven. He is roaring out of the spiritual realm because he is so for you and not against you. He is so for his plans and purposes in your life and for your life than you can be for yourself. And God spoke to me one time and he says, Marshall, do you not think I've invested too much in you to allow you to fail? God has invested too much in every single person in this room to allow them to fail. How much more do you think God wants you to succeed at what he has given you to do? The very thing that you were created to do is the very thing that God had designed in you before you were knit together in your mother's womb. God knit you together and he put together a person, a personality and a character that you could never even have dreamt of. And he's locked away inside you destiny that was meant to impact other people's lives. You are not here by chance. You're not here by mistake. The enemy will try to lie to you to make you believe that you're nothing and you're insignificant, and he'll try to cause insecurities to rise up. That's why he comes to church and he tries to make us feel insecure about our brothers and sisters. That one doesn't like you. This one didn't say good morning to you. That culture doesn't like this culture. That tongue doesn't like that tongue. And it's all a lie from the pit of hell to cause division, because where unity is, that is where the commanded blessing of God is. If the enemy can stop the unity, he can stop the commanded blessing of God. But if we decide to put all our differences aside, when we decide to put all our failures to one side and realize that we're all a work in progress and we're here to build one another up and we're here to encourage one another, the gift of prophecy is there for edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. If somebody makes you feel bad and they say they're doing it in the name of the Lord, I would question about whether they're doing it in the name of the Lord. You can be confronted. Love can sometimes confront. Faithful's the wound of a friend, and we know that God chastens those that he loves. But it's because he loves us, he brings in that word of authority, and it causes us to be encouraged. It causes us to be exhorted. Exhortation can be tough sometimes. Hey, you're doing the wrong thing, you need to get back on track. How often have you been in a place that's been dark, or you've been in hardship and you've seen somebody walking down your path or across your path that's one of the holy Joes that quotes scripture at you, and you think, oh no. And I'm the only one that's done that, but and you think, oh, here we go, not another one that comes in. And they're like, oh, well, let me tell you, if you just fast and pray, and you just, Yeah, that's really good. That's amazing. Heard a story about a Chinese man that had been taken captive for his Christianity, and he was in a Muslim nation, and they were very nasty, and they held him there, and he just kept praying and praying and praying, and one day he got out, and he was sitting in an interview in the United States, and the guy was like, "Oh, it's so great to have you here. Now, I love America. I've been there loads of times, and so great to have you there, and it's so amazing. So what scripture did you hang on to while you were in prison, and you know, you were getting battered and bruised?" And he went, "Scripture." He didn't do it in a Scottish accent, but he went, "Scripture." He went, "What scripture?" He says, "I couldn't remember any scripture." He says, "But what I did do was hang on to Jesus." See, sometimes we're good at quoting things. Sometimes it's easy to quote things, but God is asking for relationship. He's not asking for us just to have this learned way of just spouting scripture. I've met Christians before, right? Elaine will tell you, when I was pastoring and they would come up and they'd go, "I'd like prayer." "Yeah, no problem, I'll pray for you. That's my job, that's what I'm here for. But I'd like you to pray for the thing that I don't have." "Right, so you're looking for a miracle, you want God to do something for you?" "Not technically, no." "Well, technically, yeah." And I'm like, "Right, so what is it then?" And they go, "See, I've been told by the doctors, which I'm not receiving, that I've got," and it was some medical condition, I think it was even cancer, you know who I'm talking about. And I went, "Right, but I've not got cancer." And I went, "Right, so you want prayer for the thing you don't have?" "Yeah, because I don't have it. Could you pray for it?" "Right." I was like, "Look, cut the rubbish here. Let's call it for what it is. The doctors have diagnosed you with what? Cancer. That's fine. We've got a name. We can get the address and we can deal with it. Let's pray for it." We can't get into superstitious Christianity. We can't get into this stuff, you know, if I see it, then I've got it. And then if I've got it, then that's a negative confession. Listen, Jesus didn't say to the man who came with his wee boy with epilepsy, "What's wrong with your boy? He's got epilepsy." "Well, that's a negative confession." He dealt with it. He sorted it out. God is a God of solution. So if you've got something going on in your body, don't be afraid to come to leaders. That's what the Bible says. Come to the elders and get them to pray for you, lay hands on you, whatever. Get them to pray for you. Get your brothers and sisters around you to pray for you. Don't be afraid to say, "This is what the doctor said. I don't want it. It's not my portion. And I'm standing in faith. But until I'm delivered and healed from it, I'm going to keep standing in faith." Otherwise, we get into superstitious Christianity and we do stuff that we shouldn't be doing. And then what happens is that's a bad witness to people in society, because they go, "I bumped into that Christian that said that they had this, that they don't really have that, but Jesus is going to heal them. He's not healed them yet, but he's going to heal them." How is that meant to bring people into the kingdom of God? We have to be real. We have to be authentic, and we have to be setting the standard. And that's why now God is saying that we have to be delivered and set free from those mindsets that we've got, those negative mindsets that we've adopted, that we've brought into the church, that we need to be empowered and blessed and then go back out into our communities and our societies and be the blessing that God has called us to be. Preach and use words if necessary. People will watch the way you live. If people see that you're a person of prayer, a person of integrity, a person of stability, a person of character, God has knit you together in your mother's womb with a specific design in mind. God has not left it to chance. You're not random. And that's why it's so important. Children in the womb are so important to go through those trimesters and to manifest on earth, because these are people that God has created and knit together in the mother's womb to bring into the earth realm. And you don't know what they're destined to do. And that's why it's so important that we bless our seed. That is why the enemy is working so hard against marriages. He's working so hard against our children. He's working so hard against our offspring, because he's trying to erode society down that we don't have any godly structure in it. God designed the society to be the way it is because he wants us to exemplify heaven. He wants us to exemplify what we're to be on earth. And who we're to be on earth is to show Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. This morning, or this afternoon, God is wanting you to realise who you are in him and what you have been created to do. Elijah was a prophet that was called by God to call down fire on the altars of Baal. Now, I believe that that's a type and cast of today. We have altars that sometimes speak against us in the spiritual realm. We can have situations and circumstances in Israel at that time. It looked like Jezebel and Ahab had the corner in the market. They had the influence over the region and over the nation. And they tried to pervert the people's minds. And we're living in an hour where there's a lot of perversion going on and brainwashing and people getting taught wrong things. And I'm not meaning in the church, I'm meaning in society, that the world's trying to move us further and further away to be a godless society. And God's looking for a voice. He's looking for people to rise up in his image and to exemplify the love of God and show that these things that the enemy's trying to capture our minds, will, and emotions with are demonic, and that we're to call down fire on them and set the people free. And so we need to call down fire upon those altars that are speaking against us in the negative supernatural. We need to call down fire in those things that are speaking against us. It talks in the scriptures about the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. You better believe it, there are things that speak against you in the spiritual realm. You better believe that there are things that accuse you in the spiritual realm. That's what the Bible talks about. But if we're aware of those things, we can silence those voices. We can call them to null and void. We can stop them from having an influence or a power over our lives. Because you and I have the choice with what we partner with. It's not the enemy's choice. The enemy will throw options at you. The enemy will throw temptation at you. But it's what we do with those options. It's what we do with those temptations that will decipher what we give power to. The enemy can't take power from you unless you give it to him. The same as the book of Genesis when man fell. It wasn't the enemy's choice to take that. It was man's choice in the garden to give that. And we were called to take dominion. Now, some people might struggle with the dominion mandate, but we have been called to take dominion in earth. That's what scripture tells us in the book of Genesis. Man fell, handed that over. Jesus comes back. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It took a perfect manhood to fall and a perfect man to come back and restore. And that's what Jesus did. He restored that authority back to us for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus took that authority and then he gave it to us. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore. And he passes that authority on to us. And so for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, remain in Christ Jesus and do what he asks us to do, we will walk in the authority of God because we don't go as a went one. We go as a sent one. If you go in your own authority and do your own thing, that's called a went one. But if God sends you, you're a sent one. And with a sent one comes full ambassadorial authority. So each of us are an ambassador of heaven. Each of us are here on earth to exemplify the kingdom of heaven, to exemplify the kingdom of God. And so that's what God has called us here to do right now. And then with the valley of dry bones can be that we can be in the valley of dry bones and our visions and dreams that we've been given, we can feel that we've delayed or let God down with choices we've made. I don't know how many times I've looked at visions and dreams that God has given us and I've went, God, have I bypassed that somehow? Have I missed that? I thought you said, God's not a God that he should repent. God doesn't change his mind. But what it takes is for you and I to learn to come back to that place of engagement with him. The giftings and the callings of God are irrevocable and without repentance, meaning they're always there. Who you're called to be, the destiny you've got is always there. But you have a choice whether you engage with that destiny or whether you choose not to. You're not going to just wake up one day and miss it. And so there's been times in my life that I've said, God, did I miss that? And he's like, no, you need to go back to believing and having faith in me. Because I was the one that deposited it in you and I'm the one that will bring it to pass through you. Do you understand the difference? And so then Ezekiel with the valley of dry bones, he says to Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel being the great diplomat that he was, turned around and went, well, oh God, only you would know. And it was a rhetorical question because God was testing Ezekiel's readiness for what he was about to see. Sometimes God will ask us in the midst of a vision that's died, do you believe that that vision can live again? Because you need to have tenacity to know that it was God that gave it to you. It takes real strength of character and real strength of purpose that when God has spoken something to you, you will stand in faith regardless of what the circumstances look like. That all hell can be released against you. And sometimes God allows it to test your ability to stand in the heat of the moment, to come out of the other side, knowing that God is about to deliver you through it and not from it. Sometimes as Christians, we try to ask God to deliver us from it rather than deliver us through it. My language had to change from God deliver me from, I'm a Christian, get me out of here, to God deliver me through it, that I may come out of the other side, having gained another lot of experience in your kingdom, having known what it is now to overcome these areas. See the areas that you overcome, that you've got victory in, you'll help other people gain victory in. Those areas you overcome in your life, that you have sought God on, you've heard God on, you've not moved on, but stood on the word of God and stood faithful and firm, and you've come out of the other side, they are the areas that God will use you to help someone else. There are people in this room that God has called to be entrepreneurs. There are people that God has called to make money, not from the worldly system, but from a godly system through supernatural means. And when you're blessed and moving in that, you can encourage other people to do the same thing as you've done. You can teach them and show them this is the way to do it. There are people in this room that God has called to preach and teach his word. When you've come out of dark and difficult circumstances and you've stood and you've shown, you can teach other people how to do that. That's one of the functions I have. I come out of foster care. My dad had died and all sorts of stuff. And I had not, I was sharing with Philip and Rebecca last night. I was sitting in a bus shelter homeless. I've been homeless about 3 times in my life. I was sitting in a bus shelter homeless, a wee boy. Just came out of foster care at the age of 18. Totally lost. Didn't know who I was. Didn't know if it was New Year or New York. Sitting in the bus stop going, God, what now? And I was walking with the Lord. I'd given my heart to the Lord at the age of 10. Baptised in water at 11. Baptised in the Holy Spirit at 12. Started preaching at the age of 13. And I was like, God, what now? 18, and I'm sitting here, I don't have 2 pennies to rub together to travel anywhere. And I heard the Lord saying, you're going to go to the nations. And I was like, oh, please, I need to stop listening to this. This is bonkers. But what I didn't realise, what I wanted God to say was, I'm going to come out of heaven and I'm going to put bus fare in your pocket and I'm going to cause you to be translated to where you need to go. He didn't do that. He knew my circumstances. He didn't miraculously change them at that moment because I had a thing or two to go through in my character and my personality. And I had to stay firm and hold firm that even when I became a security guard in one of the shopping centres, God was still saying, I've called you to ministry. And there's me walking up and down the town centre watching for potential robbers and watching for potential bad people, you know, like mall cop. Took my job very seriously, praying in tongues as I was getting into lifts and praying in tongues, walking along the street. I must have looked like a right weirdo in the cameras. Until you learn to discern people in the shopping centre when you're walking up and down speaking in tongues with a security guard outfit on. Control to Sierra 7. Sierra 7, go ahead. Everybody can hear your walkie-talkie. I thought I was mall cop. I had to go through all that process. We will go through process. We will go through trial and tribulation, testing. Because God wants to know, do you really, really believe what he said he's called you to do? Do you really believe that you have that purpose inside you? How bad do you want to serve God? How bad do you want to know him? And you know, when I eventually get into ministry and all that, I thought I was going to be the next red hot preacher. Not red hot chili pepper, but red hot chili preacher. And I was so focused and I tried so hard. And I pastored for 15 years, nearly killed me. Pastored for 15 years, travelled internationally, did my whole thing, and then all of a sudden I had a business and everything. My world came crashing down and I went, Lord, I can't do this again, honestly. And he says, right, you've done it your way, you're ready to do it my way. I went, wait a minute, I thought, big man, this is the kind of con- I thought I was doing it your way. And he's like, no, motive, check your motive. Really? Is that really what it's boiled down to now? Motive. I had to go back and search motive out. Why, God? Why? You know, I thought I was doing all right. It's all right dealing with other people, but it was like, are you trying to heal something in somebody else because you've not dealt with the brokenness in you? Do you understand? He was like, you know, are you dealing with you, Marshall? It's all very well. These giftings and callings are without repentance and are irrevocable. They'll happen anyway. But what about you? And I went through a process. We'll always go through a process. You can't speed the process up. You can't get out of it. And so now you have to relax in it and just let it happen. You see, God's been God a long time and he's really good at it. And he just wants us to engage with his plan and his purpose and do his thing. So we're going to break off this morning our own mindsets and what the enemy has tried to throw in the mix. We're going to call down fire on the false altars. And then we're going to rise up in Christ and who he has called us to be, that we might fulfill the destiny that he's called us to walk in. And every single person in this room has a future. Every single person in this room has a destiny, regardless of how old you are, how tall you are, how small you are, what colour your skin is, what language you speak. Regardless if you're Scottish, you still have a purpose on your life. Amen? So let's just stand to our feet for a wee moment. Is it all right, brother? Could I just get you to play just gently in the background? Before I came here, one of my colleagues, a lady called Veronica West, and I've not received the full download, but Veronica West, who's a prophetess from South Africa that lives in Ireland and we work with, had said to me, "Marshall, where are you going at the weekend?" And I was like, I'm preaching somewhere in Ireland and then I'm going to fly to Manchester and then I'm going to Crewe. And she says, "Marshall, how well do you know the guy?" And I was like, "Which one?" And she's like, "The leader of the church." I said, I've known him for years. I've known him for a few years. And she's like, "Marshall, I keep hearing the word transition." Now, she didn't know it was the 8th celebration and all that kind of stuff. And she's just like, "I hear transition." And I was like, "Right, brilliant." I says, "If God gives you a word, going to give us it. And I'll take it there and I'll deliver it. You know, faithful, like a messenger, you know." So I just want us to engage with that for a wee moment, because if the house is under transition, not in a bad way, but in a good way, when God does something, he always takes us from life to life. You know, he always brings in life and always changes life to life. There's never setback or hindrance or anything like that. And so we're on the 8th celebration of Encounter. And the funny thing was, when we had been invited to preach in Dromore in Northern Ireland, and I always leave that kind of stuff to Elaine. She's brilliant with that stuff. And I was like, "Elaine, just you seek God and see what he's saying." And she says, "Marshall, I have to call it Encounter." So we had made the leaflets and it went out and it was called Encounter. And for some reason it hadn't dawned on me that this church was called Encounter. And so we had made the leaflets up and it out went, and then Philip and I spoke, and then the church is called Encounter. So this has truly been for us like an Encounter weekend, because God is really wanting to encounter his people. We know it's not visitation, it's habitation that we want. But we are living in a very powerful hour that God is on the cusp of doing something supernatural that the church has never seen before. We've experienced the day of Pentecost. We're not going to have another Pentecost. It's always there. It's always real. It's always relevant. It's still happening. We're still out living the book of Acts. But there's a realm in God and a part of God that we have not yet entered into and accessed, because we talk about the glory of God. But I have it on good authority that if God was to pour out his glory, it would kill us. We wouldn't be able to carry it. And so God wants to get us ready in a place of maturity that we're able to carry the Spirit of God in such a dimension and in such a place that the glory of God begins to fill the very place in which we're standing. And you can hear about the Shekinah glory, but this is the Kavod glory. This is a heavy, weighty glory that God wants to pour out and have on the church. And only on a couple of occasions have I ever been standing ministering, because I'm not really a seer, and began to see what looked like a mist falling in the midst of the people. And people were getting healed without anybody touching them, laying hands on them, or, you know, because sometimes we make a big thing about the person visiting or the person going, listen, you don't need any man or woman to lay hands on you. God is more than able to touch you right where you are, because Jesus is here right now. So regardless of what your circumstances are, regardless of what your need is, regardless of what it is that you've come in with that negative equity, God wants to fill it up to cause it to be positive, to be overflowing. So if you need healing in your body, God's going to heal it. If you need deliverance, God's going to deliver you. If you need fresh impartation and vision, that God is here to do that in the midst. He's here and he is ready to do that. This is new beginnings. And I really believe that this day God is laying down a gauntlet and saying to us, just choose this day whom you'll serve. What do you want? How bad do you want it? Has things become so mediocre in your life that you get so used to living in the mediocrity? Or do you want more? Are you hungry for more? Do you desire more? Do you desire that, you know, do you, any of you ever experienced that inner itch that you can't scratch? It's like you know that you've been designed for more, but you're just not experiencing it. You know that you've been designed for more than what you're walking in and what you're seeing right now. That's because it's only Him that can satisfy that. What's your name? Miliana. Eliana, where are you from? Romania. Can we stretch forth our hands towards this young lady? I was in Romania, when was it? March time I was in Romania. I'd been there on a godly assignment. We went into government and all that. It was really good, met parliamentarians. In fact, Philip and I went and picked a parliamentarian up from Romania in 2018, didn't we? We were like the hitmen. And I believe what the Spirit of the Lord's saying is that you're hungering and thirsting for more than what you're walking in right now. And you know that you've been destined for more than what you're walking in right now. And you have become so dissatisfied with life. You have become so despondent with life. You've become that almost, it's like a sense of heaviness has come upon you. And it's affected your mind. It's affected your will and emotions. And sometimes it's even been like a sense of depression has even tried to creep upon you. And there's even been a sense of relationships around you. It's like you just, there's not that connection. And you are a girl or a woman that likes connection. You're a person that needs intimacy. You're a person that needs that connection, because otherwise it's not worth investing in. And I want you to know that God has placed a destiny upon you, but that same expectancy that you have with intimacy and the desire for intimacy is the same desire that God wants from you. And God says, I am calling you to a higher place of intimacy with me. I'm calling you into a higher place of prayer. I'm going to give you a hunger for my word like you've never had before, and I'm going to give you a passion for my word that you've never had before. For I have placed upon you a divinely prophetic anointing, a prophetic anointing that is to hear and understand the heart of God and be able to express it to other people. You're going to be one that will understand the times and the seasons of my spirit. You're going to be one that you have a traveling anointing upon your life. You have an anointing to travel. You know that God has created you to travel. He's created you to go to different nations. You have a desire to travel. And God says, this is correct because I have placed that desire within you because it's part of who I created you to be and what I created you to be. And God says there's also an entrepreneurial anointing upon your life that you're going to get into places of business. I'm going to give you a business idea, and I'm going to give you the ability to make money where there has been a poverty spirit that has worked against your life. There has been a time of lack and a time of not knowing resources at times. And God says, I am your supply. Look higher, for I have the supply that you need and you require at this time. And God says that you will be astounded at what He is about to do in your life. As you surrender to His will and His purpose for your life, you will thrive and go much further than the limitations of those that have been around you. And sometimes, even in your friendships and relationships, it's been frustrating because it's like they don't have the same passion and desire as you have. And that can be frustrating because you're sitting amongst them and you just feel, I don't want their limitation to be my limitation. I don't want their standard to be my standard, because you know that you've been built for a higher standard than even the associations that you're keeping. But God says that do not look at it as a negative thing, but blessed subtraction sometimes is that God allows people to be removed from our life because they cannot go to the places in which you're going. And God will bring new associations, new friendships, because when you're called to be an eagle, you can't eat with the chickens. Does that make sense? And it's not being rude about the people that are around you, but it's to say you can't, when you are called to be an eagle, if you're called to be a chicken, be the best chicken you can be, right? But if you're called to be an eagle, you have a different set of outlooks. You have different artillery. Your wings are different. For instance, you can fly at a much higher capacity, a much higher realm, and that you're called to do things that are different, and you have a great vision, you know, great insight to look down. Chickens feed off the ground. Eagles fly from the air. And so when God calls you to rise up with wings as an eagle, and He calls you to soar into those higher places, you will ride the storms. Do you know, rather than going through and feeling thrown about, you're going to ride the storms, and the storms are what take you higher. The hardships is what take you higher. That's the things that formulate the character and personality inside you. And that's what God is working on in you just now, is your character and your personality and your character traits and all the things that God has placed within you that he wants to refine in the fire and bring them out as beautiful gems. Amen. Eileen, could you just lay hands on her for a second, if that's all right? We just want to bless you. We believe in you. The body of Christ believes in you. Jesus wants to encourage you. Jesus has come this hour to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to upbuild you. I break off every mindset of failure, every mindset of lack, every mindset of poverty, every mindset of just not knowing where that intimacy is coming from. But Jesus, that intimacy comes from you. That intimacy comes from you. And I never ever prophesy into marriages, children, or timelines, because it's not a healthy thing to do. But I want you to know, I don't believe you're married. God has the right person at the right time. Don't allow the Ishmaels, the false, to come in and steal. Don't lower your standard for what is his standard. Because your spouse, the person you marry or the person you spend the rest of life with, is pivotal to our destiny. It can make or break. So I just pray a hedge of protection around you, that the wrong person doesn't come into your life and try to draw you away, that you'll be surrounded by healthy men and women that will be a sounding board and a healthy voice in your life to protect you and to know that you are not alone. You're not an orphan out here in Crewe or in this area or wherever you come from. You are not orphaned. You have a spiritual family of believers in Christ that are looking out for you. Amen.
Amen.
So let's just, for a wee moment, Lord, we just break off in the name of Jesus every mindset of the enemy, everything where he's taken us around the foot of the mountain again. Father God, we speak to the mountain to be removed. We disassociate ourselves from any ungodly allegiance or alliance to the works of the enemy where he's planted seeds in our mind, and we've come into agreement with it. We thank you, God, that you've delivered us from that this morning. You've delivered us out of that this morning, Father God, as we listen to your word, not Marshall's word, but your word, Father God. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as we look to the altars that have been erected in the spiritual realm, every negative altar that has been erected against us in the name of Jesus, we stand in the authority of Almighty God, and we call down fire upon every false altar in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you are consuming every negative altar in Jesus' name. Every negative altar that was erected against us, we call down fire upon it, and we cancel out every assignment of the spirit of Leviathan, every spirit of Jezebel, every spirit of Ahab, every spirit of Absalom, any of those things, Father God, that have been erected against us, any of those voices, we cancel them out and we silence them in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we all stand at the valley of dry bones of our visions and the dreams that we've had for our life, Father God. And first we repent for any time we have not engaged with the fullness of who you are. We say sorry, God, for when we've got it wrong. Sorry, God, if we've kicked and screamed at you. Sorry, God, if we've not believed. Sorry, God, if we've not had the faith, Father God. But I'm asking you, Lord, give us the faith. You said in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a gift of faith. Give us the gift of faith. Give us the currency of heaven and the gift of faith, Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. So we need that faith, Father God, to stand firm. If any gift was to rise up more now than we've ever needed before, it's the gift of faith, Lord. Let us move and stand on your faith, Lord, the faith of your word. Lord, we know that you count your word higher than your name. It says in the word, you count your word higher than your name. And I'm reminded when Moses was going to see the people that were bound under Pharaoh, and Moses said to him, but who do I say sent me? All the Egyptian gods had names and were identified by their names. And what does God say? He says, the I am has sent me to you. Meaning, He says, I am all things to all men. You can't name me because I'm unnameable. He's got so many names. You can't control him in a timeline because he's timeless. He's ageless. He's not conformed to our timeline. He's not conformed to what we define him as. He's undefinable. He is the I am. He's everything that we need at that moment in time. There is no lack in him. There's no recession in heaven. There is no credit search in heaven. Do you understand? That's what blows me away. We're so defined by the earthly realm, about what the earth says about us and defines us. There's no credit search in heaven. There's no recession in heaven. Some people might get offended. Well, is that a prosperity preacher? I prosper in all areas of salvation, which is part of money. It means the fullness of my salvation. I want to walk in the fullness of healing. I want to walk in every single area. You cannot bless somebody if you're poor. Do you understand? People get this mentality. Jesus wasn't poor. Jesus was from a line of businessmen. You have to understand. You have to look at it in its historical context. People call him a carpenter. Wrong translation. He was an architecton. There wasn't a lot of wood. It was stonemasonry work he did. He was an all-rounder with his hands. He was an architecton, which is where we get the root word architect from. He was a divine builder. He knew how to build. We sometimes make him gentle Jesus. He was a carpenter. And they went, and he was born in a manger. Yeah, but they went to the inn first. You're not going to go to the inn if you don't have the money for an inn. That'd be pretty foolish. But he was born that way because that was the way God wanted him to be born into. He wasn't poor. And no three wise men or any other wise men are going to come bearing gifts to a poor kid. Let's be honest. And they're not going to cast lots for... I mean, if you know somebody that's homeless, that doesn't smell good or look good, you're not going to be casting lots for their clothes when they're in death row. That's what they did for Jesus. They cast lots because he had material on him. And people don't understand this. You have to look it out. I had to overcome it as a Scotsman. This poverty mindset. Jesus wasn't poor. He had resources. How could he show you the way to live in the fullness of your salvation if he himself didn't have nothing? It wouldn't be a very good person to follow. So Jesus wants you to move in all areas of your salvation. He was an architecton. He knew his stuff. And he's a divine building, and he has divinely built you and knit you together into the kingdom of God. Amen. So let's now engage with the plan and purpose of God, and we're going to speak to each of us individually to our valley of dry bones. You see, I could come and give you a prophecy, and that's fine, but what are you going to do with it? You understand? Sometimes we're good at getting prophecies, but we're not good at doing anything with them. And that's what we need to change the mentality of in the church, is that prophecy is not for games. It's because it's something to build on. It's something to engage with. And no one has any more authority and power in your life than you speaking to your valley of dry bones. So as the Lord positions us at the valley of dry bones, I just want the Holy Spirit to bring back to each of our remembrances any of those things that he had spoken over us, either individually, when you're in your prayer time and God spoke to you, or something you've read in the Word and God gave you a rhema revelation, or he spoke to your heart. Regardless of who you are, I just want you for a wee moment. Holy Spirit, speak to us and show us those areas of the valley of dry bones in which we stand in, and we've looked at and we've thought, Lord, there's been death to that vision. There's been death to that plan. It feels like it has died on me. And God's asking us this day, do you believe? Do you believe that they can live again? He's asking us, do you believe it can live again? He knows. It's a rhetorical question. He knows. But he wants to know, how much will you engage with it, and how much will I engage with it? Lord, today we engage with the valley of dry bones, and we say, God, yes, we know that our visions and our dreams and all those things that we've had can live again. We know they can live again, God, because you said it. And this morning or this afternoon, God, we give you permission to blow upon the valley of dry bones and cause them to live again. Lord, blow your ruach breath over the valley of dry bones, over the visions and dreams. We stand in faith to see them come to pass and know that, God, you are for us and not against us. And you are so for what you're building in and through our lives at this time. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying, this is a Kairos hour. This is a Kairos hour that you're entering into in your life. This is a divine moment, a divine transaction and alteration is taking place. That God is going to position you back into the place of authority in your life. That the disappointments and all the negative thoughts and voices that have risen against you, God is going to bring into a place of disarmament. He's going to disarm the enemy. The Lord is disarming the enemy at this moment. And he is saying, arise. Arise, a mighty army. And the Lord has endued you with power from on high. He has given you authority. He's given you back the authority that the enemy tried to steal from you, almost like your own Garden of Eden experience, where the enemy came along and tried to question God's authority in your life, where he tried to question what he had said in your life. He tries to use the words of God against them to try to provoke the children to believe or doubt. And so we disengage now with our own Garden of Eden experience, where we have believed the serpent's lie and the serpent's seduction. And we come away from the seduction of the enemy and we realign ourselves with what God originally said to us. We come back to your voice. We come back to your standard. We come back to your plumb line, Father God. We come back to the place where we originally started with you. And we stand in faith in Jesus' name. Just as I'm coming to an end now, I just want you to know that God is so for you and not against you. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Amen.
Amen.
Brother with a hat on that was playing the drums, do you come here? Do you come to this church? Can we just stretch forth our hands towards him if that's all right? I only relay what I believe that God has shown me. And I really believe that the Lord has said that you have been in a battle in your mind and your will and emotions, and you're trying to discover almost like your manhood in him and what your destiny is and your purpose. And at times you've felt purposeless. At times you've felt like you've just been going around the mountain or just going through the motions. And I'm going to be really blunt in front of everybody. I hope that's all right. It's just that it feels at times like it's not that you've doubted God, but there has been an element of, are you really there for me? Are you really doing the thing? I know you love the Lord with your heart and you would do anything for him, but you're looking for real. You're looking for authentic. Not that you haven't experienced, I don't mean that here. I'm just meaning God's calling you to a higher place of intimacy with him. He's calling you to understand his Father's heart towards you. That he's so for you and not against you. You've had some disappointments in your life. Some things have not worked out according to the way that you would like them to work out. And God is saying that I'm going to cause your life to feel like I've set the equilibrium straight. I've balanced things out for you. And I'm going to touch you in ways that you've not experienced before. And I'm going to break down some of the trust barriers that you have. I'm going to break down some of the walls that you've built around yourself to protect yourself. And I'm going to bring you into a place of love and freedom, that you are okay to accept and love who I have made you to be. And that you are going to be a good example of a man and a good example of manhood, that God's endorsing your sonship in him. And he's endorsing the manhood that he's called upon your life. And you watch what God's going to do in your life. All the dreams and ambitions and things that you've had inside you, you've wondered, is it God or is it just me? And God wants you to know that he put deep within inside you your visions and your dreams and things that you secretly think about on your own when others aren't around. And it feels like you're just on your own and nobody knows. And Jesus wants you to know, I am there with you. I understand those dreams and visions because it was me who gave those desires to you. It says in Scripture that God gives us the desires of our heart, but he puts the desires there first. He puts the desires there first. And you're not less than, you're not, you know, any of those things. You are who God has called you to be. And I really believe the Lord saying, do not compare yourself to anybody else. Don't look at other people and think, I would like to be more like this, or I could look more like that. And I don't take this the wrong way, please hear my heart on this. Don't think about what you can adjust about yourself, because you've got a wee bit of insecurity about who you are as a young man. And God wants to break that insecurity off you, just to say you can be secure in who he has made you to be. And the reason that I believe that this is happening publicly and not privately is because you need a body of believers around you. And I believe you've got it. It's a safe place to be loved on. You have a great heart of love, a great heart of kind of wanting to love on others. You've got a great capacity to love other people, but sometimes you don't apportion that same love to yourself. You're sometimes very hard on yourself and you beat yourself up. And you've got that insecurity. Elaine, could you just, is that all right if it's just, I just want my wife to give you like a motherly type, you know. God is here to heal your heart, brother, and to restore back to you your identity and who you are in him, and just to know you're a great guy. I feel that the Lord wants me to encourage you with that. You're a great guy, you know. Believe in yourself and believe who he's called you to be and what he's given you to walk in. You're going to walk in healing, because the same healing that God's apportioning to you, you're going to be able to minister out to other people with great grace. And you're a guy that believes the best in folks when others don't. You know, you'll sometimes take the way for the stray, you know, that others have overlooked. And you can love the unlovable at times, but there's a real grace on you for that. And that's the area that God wants to use you in, is to take the broken, the lost and all that, and just love a capacity on them. And you'll have a ministry in that in the days that lie ahead, you know, of just taking the broken, because you'll know what it is to walk in that freedom, all right? So I bless you with that, if that's all right. I'll give you a hug. Amen. Bless you in Jesus' name. I think it's only fair that we call Rebecca in, if that's all right, and Phil to just sit at the front, if that's okay. I mean, after all, we're here to celebrate, aren't we? Hi guys, you want to just come sit at the front together? Now, yous are married, aren't you? Let's just stretch forth our hands towards this precious couple before they throw me out. Now, here it is. It's a thing that I wouldn't normally do this, but they've given me free rein, right? So what I want to ask you is, and I will have to be careful because I hope there's no loopers in here. I'm going to ask the Lord to deposit and to speak to each of us, right? And I'm not going to get you up one by one to speak over them, lad. Don't worry about that. But I want the Lord to speak to you. And I want the Lord to speak to your heart something that could potentially be a blessing. Now, please understand, I did pastor, and my calling's a prophet, so I can be brutal, so don't take offence at that. But it's just sometimes if I feel that it's going a bit wacko, I will stop it, right? So, is there anybody before I come to pray over them that has an impression from God or has something that they would like to share? Bearing in mind, we're on a time restriction, aren't we? So has anybody got anything on their heart or spirit that they would like to come and bless the pastors with or share with them? Because I always ask that, because it's not just about the prophets, the minister, it's about the people under that. So if you could give me a show in your hand if you have anything that you would like to come and share, and if you could just line up, if that, are you okay with that? Just a wee blessing, right? No, speak English. Do you speak in? Do you want to pray? Do you want to just say a prayer?
No. She didn't understand.
All right, that's all right. See what happened there? Right, does anybody want brothers coming just before me?
Okay, preview. I see a picture of a tree, and that tree is in full bloom, it's summertime, and God is saying that it's a strong, strong tree. The roots go deep, the roots go wide, and you will not be blown over by adversity, you'll not be blown over by circumstance, but you are a planting of the Lord. And God wants you to just remember that again. And as you come into this new year of new adventures, new challenges with the church, remember that you have been planted by God, and God is pouring his strength and his power in you and through you, and you are planted deep in God's love.
Okay. Anybody else?
I just feel like the Lord's put it on my heart to bless you for your determination that I've seen when you've hung on to Jesus by your fingernails, really, and it's been hard, and it's been, as you were talking about before, Marshall, what circumstances just look so dire. And I know that you've walked through that and you've just hung on. And God has blessed you for that, and he's grown the church through your determination. So I just feel he wants to bless you for your faithfulness, and that you just set your face like flint towards him and towards the vision that he put in your heart.
Amen. Does anybody else have anything they would like to share for them? Okay. So, Eileen, could you just come up and stand with us for a wee second, please? We'll just stretch forth our hands. Let's everybody stretch forth their hands towards them. So I know a wee bit about them, so it's always harder to give somebody a word when you know them, but I always submit it so they can always test it. So there's two things. God says that I have got you in a Kairos hour and a Chronos hour. And God says I have put you on a specific timeline. There is a specific timeline in which I have planted you on, and I am growing you in. But this is an hour of advancement. This is an hour of stretching out. This is an hour of being expanded and stretched beyond the boundaries in which you stand right now. And that capacity is going to increase, because the increase of the anointing upon your life and the increase of the sphere of grace that I have given you, says the Spirit of the Lord, is going to go beyond anything that you have even imagined at this hour. And God says there is divine favor that is going to come from man, because I'm going to move the hand of man in unusual ways in favor for your life. And there has been times and seasons of question, Lord, is this the right thing? Is this the right direction? We know all that, but God is saying that I have set apart a plan for you that is bigger than the both of you have even dreamed about. And this plan is not going to hold you in a place of poverty or hold you in a place of financial restriction in any way, but there is an abundance of my resources that are going to come into your hands. And God is saying, I am going to cause you to be blessed, and I'm going to cause the increase to come upon you in the days that lie ahead. For there are people that I am calling to network and to connect with you in this next season. And all will become clear in this next season as you pivot your way into it. It has felt at times like, God, am I dying in it, or am I living in it? Am I dying in it, or am I living in it? But God is saying, as I stretch you and as I bring you into that place, God is saying the expansion of authority that is upon your life is because of the other men and women that God is calling you to raise up in this hour, and he's causing you to pour into in this next time, this next season of generations to come. And the generation will be a cross-generational purpose of different age groups and different ethnicities. I see a call to the nations upon both of your life. I see not just a call to the nations, but it's a depth to the nations where God is saying, I'm going to cause you to restore broken and lost ministers, men and women that have fell by the wayside in brokenness and hardship, that you're going to draw alongside them and bring them encouragement, and you're going to bring them strength, and you're going to build them up. For there has been a level of brokenness that has been in my body, and God says, I can trust you with bigger things now. I can trust you with greater projects, because I have tested you both. I have weighed you in the balance, and you are ones that have come out of the other side that I know that I can trust in this next season. For this next season is a season of restoration and reconciliation in my body. You are going to be ones that will bring restoration to broken relationships. You're going to be one that will bring restoration to broken walls, broken dreams, broken visions. You are a restorer. You have the capacity of love. You have a capacity of love that goes beyond the boundaries and measurements of man's capacity, because I have given you a supernatural ability to love beyond your own natural capabilities. And I have stretched you. I have caused you to be one that would be stretched, and at times it felt as if you would split right down the middle. But I have sustained you, and I have held you in the palm of my hand. No mistake, your name's called Hand, sorry. I have sustained you in the palm of my hand. I believe that as expansion comes, There are going to be others that are going to come back to you and knock the door and say, we got it wrong. There's a sense of vindication coming as well to you. There's a sense of restoration, vindication. And I also believe, and please, I'm submitting it to you. I said this to somebody not that long ago. The enemy tries to remove resources to stop the kingdom of God being built. And there are people that have heard the clarion call and have not responded to the clarion call, and that is out with your ability or your capacity to call them in and make it happen. It has to be by God, but because they've got free will, they've chosen to move in a different direction. And God says that there's a clarion call of restoration that is going to come to you, and God is going to make up for the years that have been taken from you financially, that have been taken from you positionally, been taken from you even as a couple within your marriage and your family. And God is going to restore all the years. The locust of Eden has not been done in vain, and you've not arrived at this point. You've not arrived at this age and stage in ministry. And I have this sense God is just saying, you are not a failure, you are a success. You've been exactly where I've asked you to be, exactly at the right time, in the right position. And God has had to remove some people out of your life. God has had to take some people out of your life that were going to be stealing, that were going to steal from your anointing, that were going to steal from the grace in your life. And this is a time of divine protection and divine keeping things safe, keeping things safe under the, it's like Psalm 91, under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, God is stretching his wing over the both of you. And there's just this sense as well that I believe that God is saying it's okay to enjoy time together and enjoy good time together and be blessed in that. And I really believe that it's time for you guys to have some blessed time together where you are just on your own and you don't have anybody pulling on you or anybody stretching you, you know what I mean? Just a beautiful time together as husband and wife. And I believe that the body of Christ has to be responsible in praying for that and seeking God for that and to be standing with you. And I urge anybody that comes to this church, we get a mandate from God. We have a responsibility in prayer and intercession to make sure that we are praying for leaders. It's not enough just to say we like going to a church and we bless them. It's really great. We have a responsibility to do warfare. We have a responsibility to do prayer and intercession. And I'm not talking about, oh, shabba-ba-ba-ba, that's fine, that's great. I'm talking about where you lift the names of Philip and Rebecca up and you say to the Lord, Lord, I want the best for them. I pour blessings on them and speak scripture of abundance upon them. And I guarantee you, by the grace of God, you will see it manifest. If you want to get alongside them and believe them for the best positioning for this house, it will happen. I know that it happens. God can even take cessationists and bless them. And if he can do that, he can take spirit-filled believers that are standing and contending. But you have to understand, because I know from a pastoral standpoint, never mind an apostolic, the warfare and pastoring and leading is so intense and it's so tough. And they've got to hold it together more than anybody else. They've got to leave all their stuff and just come in and minister and pour out. Folks, it's time in prayer and supplication that we pour in and we become a blessing to them and stand with them in agreement. My heart, there's things that have grieved God over the years against them. Do you understand? And I feel it in the spirit. I'm not just saying this to be nice. I feel it in the spirit. There's things that have grieved God over the years. God doesn't like his children to be misused or abused. And so just when you come here, please ask God to give you something that you could share or be a blessing to them with, you know, just something you've been thinking. The difference that makes as leaders would astound you. Just walking away, I mean, Elaine and I know from our time, you know, we walked away and somebody said something and it's really touched us, because people don't always understand pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. They need to be blessed back in. And I'm going to do something that I don't know if I've got permission to do, and I might get into trouble for it. Am I allowed? Have I got... And nobody's asked for this. This is off Marshall's own back, okay? I don't want to take away from the church, but I feel that God wants us to sow into them. I hope you don't mind me doing that. I know you might not be comfortable with that, and I'm only doing it because I feel prompted to do it. Please hear my heart. I don't normally do this, and I've got to preach now like I'm never getting back, okay? If you would like to sow a seed into them as a couple to bless them, let's do it this morning. Let's be a blessing to them. And let's ask Lord for a seed. It doesn't matter how small it is, it's just a blessing to give them a seed this morning, okay? And don't worry, nobody's going to be breathing over you. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter. It's just to be a blessing. See, one of the things I have learned over the years is to be a blessing. If you sow seed, you bless. Even if that means that they can go for a cup of coffee together, that's all that matters. It's just to be a blessing. Do you want to take the grape? So please, I'm not pressurising you, but be a blessing to them, amen. I'm sorry, guys, I wouldn't normally, I've never done that before. I don't want to end up in trouble, but it's just what I'd felt prompted to do. Even if you get to go have a coffee together, it's just a blessing time for you both. I think we should give the Lord a hand clap for this house. 8 years.